SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best start of the day now officially underway. It's Monday. It's an armchair quarterback Monday. Absolutely hot on Moneyline. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Kevin Wall, Sirius XM Channel 159. If you're watching, so many different ways to watch and listen. Thank you for supporting the show, but we got a lot to get to today, which I'm going to start here. I got a lot of hot takes, but Dennis Allen fired as the Saints head coach.
Yeah.
We brought it up here the minute it happened, Kevin, on the early line. But now that we're on money line, two of the biggest wins you're ever going to see, which had you recalibrating how good the Saints are, to seven straight losses, each one more embarrassing. How did we get to this point?
Yeah, it's unimaginable, right? I think you look at the first two wins, and as you said, it wasn't like, come on, they got lucky, da-da-da-da-da. No, like, it was, no, they look incredible, right? And their week three game was against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles really could use a win, right? And yeah, they did, Donnie. They had, the Eagles, yardage-wise, they dominated, but they, Sirianni, this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles got a win that they deserved in that game. The next week, the Saints go and play Atlanta. They get walked off with a field goal. Carr was terrible. There were multiple defensive special teams touchdowns by Atlanta in that game. Again, they lose by two. So now you sit there, you go, all right, we're 2-2. No panic, though, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we lost to two solid football teams. We lost super close, five combined points. If I'm not mistaken, though, it was then followed by the Monday Nighter up against... if I'm remember, against Kansas City, I believe. It's like, man, the last thing you really want is a trip to Arrowhead needing to break a streak. And then Carr gets injured, and then it unravels from there. Rattler, horrendous. Rookie quarterback, not even a top two-round draft choice. So that's what happens. The defense starts to lose piece after piece after piece. Dennis Allen is a bad coach. I knew that when I went into the season with some Saints futures. He is a bad coach. You just had nothing working there. But, man, you will not see many teams get off to that start and collapse to this degree. Donnie, sometimes a team will have a one-week blip, 2 weeks of just the most dominant football you can see. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
You got to reset that team now, too. You did it the right time. You fired your head coach. There's a regime change in there. You have any pieces that any other team wants to take off of your roster, go ahead and trade them before the deadline starts tomorrow. You're way over the salary cap next year. Who knows what you're getting out of any one of your quarterback situations here? Just a bad look for the Saints, and it looks like it's going to be a long time coming. Now, also, last year I thought the Saints would win the division. This year I thought they would be competitive. They just, last year, just didn't get it done at the end of the season. And this year, too, it's funny too, man. They 2-0 with two of the biggest wins you will find and say, oh my goodness, what are we looking at? And you're right. That Philadelphia Eagles game where the Eagles came in so injured, it got even more injured in that game. And then Dallas Goedert on a little pick play down the sideline, and away you go with an Eagles victory. And the Saints were never able to get away from that. Now, that topic out of the way, the Saints insignificant on the season itself. We'll see where they go into the future. But a lot of things happened in the NFL. But before we get there, I don't want to forget about Saturday action in college football and also some of the changing landscapes here that I want to hit. You take a look at the new Heisman favorite here. It's now Cam Ward after his five touchdown performance in a blowout victory over Duke, which was wild as they were down double digits in the second half and absolutely hit the gas pedal. You take a look at Travis Hunter now, who had the week off. You saw him on game day appear there. He still has a lot of football left to play. Let me just start there before we get to the games. The Heisman Trophy race moving forward. For me, look, I'm a Miami fan, but I usually like to start a straight unbiased. I don't see any way, shape, or form Cam Ward doesn't win this now, Kevin. I just don't.
Look, I think that he should, you could argue, be a bigger favorite. I don't really understand the Travis Hunter stuff. I think he's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be one of the top 10 draft choices in next year's class. Mm-hmm. He missed multiple games, and that typically is not something that you can come back from. But I guess it's the fact that he kind of has that Shohei
Ohtani
argument, Donnie.
Correct.
Where it's like, nobody else can even consider, like, do what I'm doing. It's such a different thing. Fine, maybe. I don't really understand it from that end. My take on the Heisman DRS, I mean, look, it's like you said, right? Like, yes, you're giving your clear unbiased view as a Miami fan. Well, I'm trying to give you my view as somebody holding a Dylan Gabriel ticket, right? Mm-hmm. I want a hedge opportunity because, like, that's what I should do, right? Sitting on what I don't remember the numbers they exactly have, maybe 20 to 1, give or take. I have to look up.
Yeah.
I'll look it up for people. I don't know where my opportunity is going to come now because I'm worried that Gabriel and Cam Ward will both go to their conference championship games unbeaten. And if that happens, that basically Gabriel will need to beat Ohio State. And I think Cam Ward would have to lose to what is now projected to be SMU. And I'm not sure I would think either of those things happen. Like, I don't know if I feel confident that Gabriel Donnie gets Ohio State in the rematch. And I definitely don't think I'll be projecting SMU to beat Miami in an ACC title game.
And it almost seems like it's the perfect outlet for Cam Ward because you look at the schedule, it hasn't been very good across the board, but he throws for three Bills every single game. He's got Heisman moments. He looks so fluid in the pocket. Like, he's just ready to be a professional quarterback. But now that you take Clemson right now, let's just say remove them from the championship game, Clemson's got a really good defense on most weekends. Last week against Louisville, not so much. But if you get in against SMU, Miami's defense we know is leaky, Kevin. Even if they take a loss, like, hey, Cam Ward's unbeaten in the regular season, threw for 550 and six touchdowns in a loss to SMU because he doesn't play defense. That's another thing that's going to be the leg up because SMU will get after it. Miami will get after it. But also, from a Travis Hunter perspective for me, this is why I don't count him out. And also, this can wrap right around to Jenty out there for Boise State. There are so many times when your coach has to understand what we're trying to do on the season. Is Deion looking to win a national championship? Technically, yes. Does he want to make the playoffs? Yes, he does. But you know what's even bigger for him? You want to come here to Colorado? I'll win you a Heisman Trophy. And whether or not that branches off to him being a Florida State head coach next. But the reason I say that is they're close in there. Like, Shador, obviously his son, is the son of Deion Sanders. But also Travis Hunter seems like he gets treated just like a son as well. Been with him all the way, able to pluck him from going to Florida State. You don't think right now that those three guys, and this is the way they should be thinking. Travis, you get in the red zone, I'm throwing that football to you every single play. Because if you can get a pick six somewhere here down the stretch, but also you can add 10 catches for 150 and a touchdown every single game, and I'll make sure you have 15 targets. Like, the betting options for me looking towards Travis Hunter, I'm all in. Same way I'm at Cam Ward. They understand the bigness of getting a Heisman Trophy. Jenty had his chance to really set the record and say, no matter what, he actually believed that Jenty should be the favorite today if they just let him spin Kevin in that one game, because they would always go back to say, do you remember that game he ran for 500 yards and seven touchdowns, which would have been a possibility that they put him on the bench for. Now he's in, like, what, fifth or sixth place here? Moving down, like, do you figure there's a coaching scheme here that's going to set their guy up? Because Lanning, say what you want, as long as they win, he'll be fine. He'll be up there. But, you know, you still need to say when you actually get to that podium in New York City, let me see the statistics out here. Somebody's got to get pushed into that Heisman.
All right, so a lot there. What I would say with Jenty Donnie is not to discredit the angle that you told people was going to happen. I also think him playing at Boise has hurt him. Nobody cares about their games anymore. They just don't. And right. I think that that's really banged up Jenty in the race. As far as Cam Ward goes, look, he is everything for that team. I don't know if he survives the loss. I could be wrong. Now, there could be other losses that happen, right? Don't get me wrong here. But I think a loss would be very damaging for Cam Ward's case. Now, other guys could lose, in which case then it's an even playing field, right? I think Gabriel has to go unbeaten. In which, though, Donnie, if he goes unbeaten, that would include a winning the Big Ten.
Yes.
That is going to be his argument. For Travis Hunter, I will just say, I think with the way people have discussed Deion, there's a lot of apologies owed. And I know that Hunter is like a son to him, but his literal son is the quarterback. That's a quarterback award. And he and his son have pushed Travis Hunter to the top of that Heisman conversation. The type of stuff you wouldn't expect, I feel, with the way people talk about Deion.
Oh, so many hot topics to go. Don't you change this dial, SiriusXM Channel 159. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go get them shots.
Top 12, baby. Let's go on head coaches. We're not even going to start the NFL just yet, Kevin. I think you know where I'm going.
Oh, I do know where you're going. I got a big problem, too. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The best job in sports. I'm not even talking college football, in sports. Go to Penn State. There are zero expectations for your program. I don't think Penn State has been relevant technically in the national championship headlines since like, what, 93 or 94, the Kerry Collins, Kajana Carter, Joe Paterno teams. Every year they get by, they sell out. And again, it is about dollars, right? If you can say, hey, look at James Franklin. Every year we're competitive. Every year we build a 110,000 stadium there that we add a couple thousand more seats. Each and every year, the fourth largest stadium in the world is Penn State at State College. And it's sold out and our fans love us regardless if we ever win a big game. Is incredible. Because usually, Kevin, that builds apathy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a Sixers fan. They can't get through the second round here. So I look at the regular season, I go, I don't care about the Sixers in the regular season. I just want to see what they do when they get to big games in the playoffs. Are Penn State fans, because they continue to show up. And I even joked with like Lisi yesterday or whoever. Like as I said, I spend my Saturdays now on a soccer field watching my daughter play soccer. I'm not in depth. Mm-hmm. I don't watch every single game. I try to watch as much as I can. But I knew coming into this weekend, early in the week, did multiple videos. I don't even care about the handicap in the game. Penn State never wins these football games. You got to be a lunatic to bet Penn State anytime they're in a decisional game like this. It turned out exactly, Kevin, the way I thought. Inept offense, ridiculousness. And then James Franklin at the postgame press conference, like, man, what are you kidding me? So what, we lost to Ohio State? So what, I always lose to them? We could still get in the national championship picture again. Like, so tone deaf. But is he? Like, this is what, like, I'm pretty sure after the game, they're like, you know what? It's okay. You lost that game again. Let's try to regroup and get into the national championship picture once again.
I have a real problem, DRS, because Penn mm-hmm. State went into that game. I leaned Ohio State. Donnie, admittedly, I didn't love the Buckeyes in the game. I had a team total that never should have lost, that ended up not getting close. Will Howard in the victory did flash a little bit of, I'm not the guy. Then again, I'm holding Georgia title tickets, so maybe I should be careful slandering any quarterbacks with what Beck's been doing.
Yes.
The AP poll, Donnie, is not the end-all be-all, but it's obviously going to look somewhat similar to tonight's college football rankings that we're, or tomorrow's, excuse me, college football rankings that we're going to get. And I know your take on those. They are irrelevant. The one thing I have begged and pleaded with you, though, is that they set the bar, right? It is hard, Donnie, to jump a team if they keep winning, right? And that's why I don't like that those rankings come out. So I'm going to take a team in Penn State, right? I know that you're bothered by, and I'm going to challenge it with a team that I know this morning you attacked, and that's the Indiana Hoosiers. Donnie, there's no way Indiana shouldn't be ranked in front of Penn State. Penn State has zero wins against ranked opponents. None.
Yeah.
USC has fallen apart. Illinois was a home dog to Minnesota this week. I don't want to hear about it. Preseason expectations on West Virginia can kick rocks. Nobody cares you won at Wisconsin. Nobody. Indiana, Donnie, is unbeaten, and they are destroying everyone. I've bet against Indiana a few times, Donnie. I had a 10-0 lead with Michigan State. And I was thinking about victory lapping. I'm glad I didn't. They lost the game by 1,000. Like, Donnie, Penn State being sixth in the AP poll with zero top 25 wins and a home touchdown loss to the only good football team they've played, and they're sixth? I think that's absolutely criminal.
It's wild the way it plays out, too, because it used to be like the unbeaten record of the blemishless team always got the benefit of the doubt. That's not happening this year. Indiana, BYU, even Miami, who finally got the fourth year, and as it's encapsulated with Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Tennessee, Penn State, Notre Dame, all around them, who you know they want to jump them because Miami hasn't had the toughest schedule. But the end-all be-all used to be, it doesn't matter. Your schedule is what it is. Who you beat, they're undefeated, and that matters. That doesn't seem like it matters, and I like that. Why? Because we're going to settle this in the college football playoff. But when I look and laugh at Penn State, and then you look at their schedule and you go, this is amazing. They're never going to win a good football game. But now James Franklin's like, I have this down pat. The fact that they expanded this from four teams all the way out to 12 every single year, I'm going to be in that conversation. My contract is going to go up exponentially because I'm going to make Penn State and trick them into think that we're in the college football playoff as if it was only four teams with a legitimate chance to win anything. They never win anything. You know what would have been impressive, Kevin? They get up 10-0, they put their foot on Ohio State's necks and bounce them 24-3. You know what? Penn State might have a different look today, but you know what I saw? A quarterback that just can't make plays, same way it always is. Hey, look at our really good running game. Finally play a good defense and completely shut down. Penn State, do you recruit wide receivers at all at any level? I don't know. Oh, but look at our tough defense that holds up. It never holds up here. And at the end of the game, you saw that bell ring, by which I can't. The bell when you ring, you should be ringing it in victory when you leave the field. Is that some sort of thing with Penn State where you ring a bell even though you get your ass kicked in big games all the time? Like, why are we ringing the bell when we leave the stadium? And also, whoever sent me the tweet, I think it might have been Joe Frieza, sending me the tweet of James Franklin coming out once again and the arm lock with his team. I love every time they lose as if he's trying to play football himself. I can't stand Penn State. How about that?
No, and I get it, Donnie. I do, but I'm just like, I'm going to go, I'll go with like an extreme one, DRS, right? Yeah. Alabama, who, by the way, I bet to miss the playoff.
Yes.
The loss to Vanderbilt at the time was seen as a disgrace. And yes, I do not believe that Vanderbilt should ever be beating Alabama. Vanderbilt is a ranked top 25 team who only lost to Texas by three, just beat Auburn on the road by double digits, has a win at Kentucky, narrow loss on the road to Missouri. Like, Donnie, that the loss to Vanderbilt, I'm sorry, we have to adjust how we viewed it. It's not that bad. Meanwhile, Alabama has a win over Georgia, number two in the country. That, oh, remember when they should have lost to South Carolina? South Carolina's good. They're 27th in the AP poll. Like, Penn State is, again, getting by on the Big Ten is terrible. Like, but we lose to all the teams that are better than us, but we beat all the teams that are worse than us. I cannot stand that they are sixth in this AP poll. I don't think they should be in the top 10.
Arguments are going to be fun at the end of the season again. They really are. But that's what's up for grabs here and just fun. And by the way, Georgia-Florida game had it all. From the stands to the field to terrible quarterback play. And what's up with Carson Beck? But that's college football. Let's flip it over to the pros. Let's get on coaching again. Nick Sirianni, I'm looking at you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
House always wins, people. And when Kevin's in the house, the Eagles are supposed to win. So the Eagles did win yesterday. And I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed myself yesterday. One of the more fun days, Kevin, of betting for me. Lost a couple parlays early by a hospital ball thrown to Olave, which eliminated one parlay early in that game.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase not getting to 50 yards, canceled me out on another parlay.
Nuts.
And Kyle Pitts not getting 25 yards receiving against the Dallas Cowboys. So I was like, this is ridiculous. Hit my best bet yesterday, hit all my morning crunch, and I went absolutely ballistic on betting touchdown props yesterday. Everything was coming in. Like, Kevin, when I say everything's coming in, like, I doubled down on Saquon Barkley, and I also took a touchdown prop on Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown. Like, what are you, an idiot, Donnie? You're going to take two guys to score rushing touchdowns. Boom, 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 all the way in. That was three in the door. At halftime, like, let me take A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith to score a touchdown in the second half because their numbers were astronomical. 440 and plus 660. And the fact that I was like, you know what, this is ridiculous. Like, A.J. Brown got hurt, and I didn't even know it and didn't even play the second half. He had a Superman catch by Devontae Smith. Like, every single thing I was touching yesterday, I had Mike Gesicki to score a touchdown. I had Taysom Hill to score a touchdown. It was an awesome game all the way through. But let's get back to the Eagles game where I actually got to watch him at 4 o'clock, a full game, relaxed, already eaten, took the dogs for a walk, and got to settle and go, you know what? This team is really back. This team is good. And I'm watching the game going like, they're dominating Jacksonville, but I understand Nick Sirianni always likes to be aggressive. But we don't need to be this aggressive. Take a field goal here, kick an extra point here or there, and this team is probably just going to play dead in Jacksonville. And as we know, like an NBA game, that game comes all the way back down to the end. Now, before we start to get into the game itself, Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, it is undeniable because I saw the statistic yesterday, Kevin, when you're at the game. If we ended his career today, the 13th best winning percentage of all time as an NFL head coach, you can't shake a stick at that. I think he's a buffoon at times, but the players absolutely play for him, and nobody ever speaks out of turn when saying, like, Nick's got to go and the locker room is lost.
Yeah.
But there is something to say, like, what is he doing out there on the field trying to get other teams back in the game?
So there's so much there, man. Yesterday I went to the game, yeah. Of course, as Bonnie said. It was an unbelievable experience. Truly one of just everything. It was one of my favorite days of my life. It really, really was. I'll tell you one of the big takeaways I had, though, Donnie, is Eagles fans legitimately do hate Sirianni.
Yes,
which is a little bit of a shame. But like, on the way out, right? Like, you're in the bathroom line. People are like, well, if you took 7.5, you can thank Sirianni for that. Right? There's people legitimately, like, you think Belichick will coach us next year? It was just crazy. Yeah. But Donnie, I want to, because maybe I was losing, I don't know, a gauge of it being in the building. But I don't really think I was.
Yeah.
So the first time he goes for two, mm-hmm. he went for two because there was a penalty that put them at the 1 yard line. And they have had an automatic 1 yard play. Funny, most coaches make that decision and go for the two. The referees say that Hurts doesn't get in. Every single person in the building thought Hurts got in.
He got in. He did get in.
Okay. Anyway. Right? So then the second time they go out there, they line up for the extra point. Oh, there's another penalty. Ball's at the one. We have an automatic play that gets us two. We didn't get it the last time. Odds are we're going to get it again. Every single person in the building thinks Hurts got in, Donnie, the second time.
Yeah.
Well, the refs once again said he did not get in. Okay. Then there's the fumble call, which I saw a Jaguars fan on my timeline say, the refs are robbing the Eagles blind. I love it. Not defending the call, knowing that that was an absolute mockery that had all of a sudden been made on the field. So then the Eagles come up for a 4th-and-1 DRS.
And a 4th-and-1.
And there are people saying, why aren't you tush-pushing? Now, yes, I'd rather them tush-push. Don't get me wrong. But also, Donnie, Nick Sirianni just watched the refs twice say Hurts didn't get in when he got in. I can't kill him if he lost a touch of confidence based on the refs being absolute maniacs. That's me. Now, I was very stressed out with the decision to kick the field goal. I was wishing it was a two-play situation. But it's also tough because Jake Elliott is one of the four best kickers in football. So usually you want to send him out there. It was a very stressful game, Donnie. But I feel people took the missed two-point conversions and stuff and they just put in a pile. They go, man, Sirianni's lost. But in the context, I think a lot of the decisions were understandable.
But the ones that were just killing me were, again, the fourth quarter one where it's like, okay, or maybe it was the late third quarter. You should have just snuck that ball in 4th-and-6 inches. Like, you're going to get that, and you can't just play it all because they usually give you the benefit of that on those. We're going to get into more. I know we're coming up on a commercial break, but there's a couple other things in that game that really got on my nerves quite a bit. The Philadelphia Eagles still won, sitting up there with those Lions right now. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. Talking about the NFL. Yes, and a lot of big doings, obviously. But by the way, we always talk about, you know, how do some things get missed, Kevin? If you were watching that Eagles game, which I was, you know, it got close to the end of the game. The Saquon Barkley, I fell down because I was tackled and then my elbow hit and then the ball came loose to letting it play out, which sometimes I don't even mind. I'm like, you know what? The refs are taught more than likely, just don't blow it there, play it out, we'll easily correct it. Sometimes I get mad at that because then you hear like the telecast go like, well, they let it go, so there's not enough to overturn it. Yes, there's enough to overturn it. You can't play that angle of we just let the play go, but now if it's really close and looks like it might be incomplete or a fumble, we can't overturn it because we let it play out. You're supposed to let it play out and then take an objective look at it once you get back. But the fact that it was such a big play in the game, which also really hurt Nick Sirianni, because that game's completely different if they don't score a touchdown on that play. Then you get the Monday morning, hey, Nick, clean some of that stuff up. But the fact that they almost lost the game and N'Kobe Dean with an unbelievable play to end that game as basically a defensive back making an interception in the end zone, That's where Nick Sirianni, he got piled on the post game. He's probably getting piled on local radio today, no doubt about it. But they are winning football games, and that's what all that matters. A.J. Brown looks like he escaped disaster with that knee injury. MRIs are coming, but they don't think it's that bad. Maybe he plays this week, had Dr. Chow this morning. But if we flip it around, the rest of the NFL.
Can I ask you something quickly?
Yep, sure. Yeah.
Because it's very funny, but man, Donnie, there are certain – you have this way, I think, with certain topics where you are the only person that can come to mind for me.
Yeah.
When I saw that Dak hurt his hamstring.
Yes.
And not only – but then the Eagles were on deck. I was like
– yes.
Well, yep. I need to know if Donnie believes that this is like – the Eagle, not only that, no, see, I already knew that, Don.
Okay.
But, like, is this now a situation where the Eagles are going to go to Dallas and it's, like, a must win and anything less is an absolute disgrace? Look at headline 6.5. Like, we don't usually go to Dallas, Donnie, and think to ourselves anything other than a win is acceptable. Like, this is a really interesting spot they're in next week, Philly.
Correct. And you have also CeeDee Lamb banged up with that shoulder injury one shot. He's get taken out. But this is like the perfect storm. Like, oh, well, Cooper Rush is going to go. No. No excuses here. And if Dak Prescott, who I love again, Kevin, the hamstring injury, like he hurt it in that game and could not play. He knew he was scheduled for an MRI, and yet athletes still go up there like, you know, I think I should be able to go next week. Like, they have no idea or understanding what a hamstring injury is. He's going to be out. But before we flip it over to, by the way, the Eagles game, the Saquon Barkley play where he was just in the matrix. Like, seeing that live, and then you could still listen to the crowd. Like, when it happened, it was like, ooh, but you know they flashed that up immediately in a little bit of dead time while the team huddles up. That place was going nuts. It was going nuts yesterday. One of the craziest plays you ever see.
It's one of those things where, because it was so nuts, only a few people you think, I say a few, I mean only a few, like tens of thousands, right, see it in real time. But I saw it in real time, and I started freaking out. But I'm almost glad that not everybody saw it in real time.
Yes.
The energy when they showed that replay, Don, it was one of the coolest moments of all time. Let me just do one more thing since I was there.
Yeah.
There's so many times I feel in my betting life that when I am at my most confident is when I end up most wrong. No better example than Ollie Gordon last year, who ran for 150 yards every game. I said would run for 250 against UCF and did not scrape 50 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
To the point where many people I work with were like, yeah, what the heck happened there, right?
Yeah.
It's happening. I had that level of confidence in Saquon Barkley yesterday. I just kind of going through the research, Donnie. I know on the show with you and Lisa, I was like, man, I think he might catch one.
Yeah.
When I saw him fly out of that backfield, and he lobbed that damn wheel route. Donnie, you would have thought I won $1 million in that moment. I did not win $1 million, but it was just, it wasn't even about the money. It was about being there. It was about it being a best bet. It was about getting it right. Truly, that Saquon Barkley touchdown DRS, like, if you could bottle it up, it is one of the coolest things I've ever felt in my entire life.
Yeah, I bet Saquon Barkley to score a touchdown and Jalen Hurts. Then just sitting in the studio, it's like, you know, I got this, you know, booster up here for a touchdown that popped up. Just double down on Saquon Barkley. Yep. And then before the game, I had the boost on FanDuel, which was, I think, a $50 match bet special that the next bet that you have. So I was like, you know what, let me run it up. Let me take Saquon Barkley 90 plus, boom, hit that too. So everything was just in form. But Saquon Barkley, so special. Love that play call, by the way, because the Eagles will never get credit for it. 3rd and 18 in the red zone, hand the ball off to Saquon, just walks into the end zone. Tremendous play. And I was cheering for that because, like, could they do it just so he gets 10 yards so I can help my 90 yards? Boom, shatters that in there, 50 yards in the half, and away you go. But I want to talk about the Lions, Kevin. The team that's a dome team that you're not supposed to win outdoors. You go into a rainy, windy Lambeau Field and absolutely turn the lights out on the Packers. Now, I was asked this question this morning by Ben. Like, what is your assessment? Forget about the Lions. You know me. I have like a dozen bets in. I posted them this morning.
Yeah.
Anywhere between like $10 to $50. I'm loaded on Detroit. I'm not going to take any more because those prices are a dollar short of what I was getting even yesterday before the game. Love where I sit on them. But the reassessment of the Packers. Like, what do you think about the Packers? I don't have any downgrade on the Packers. They're a good football team. They'll be in the playoffs. They'll probably win a playoff game, maybe two, but I don't think they're going to win the NFC because to me, it's the Lions, Kevin. I need to see what they do tomorrow. Give me a little bit of reinforcements on the defensive line, Kevin. I truly believe I love the Eagles. Nobody's beating Detroit in the NFC this year. Nobody.
Yeah, so Donnie, I see it differently. I think that they've been pretty fortunate. Look, I know sometimes where you can create plays for yourself, but getting outgained by 200 yards and winning on the road is But it's out. But Donnie, it's outlier. It's out. You and I once got into a big debate, I remember, around a Buffalo-Miami game where that happened. And yeah. You were on the side that I'm sitting on right now. You're like, listen, when you get outgained like that, that means you should have lost that football game. I was like, no. And look, these things, and context matters, right? Like, Donnie, I'm not going to – like, they were outgained by Tennessee by, like, 200 yards. I'm not going to tell you that the Titans should have beat them. But I think my thing for me, at least right now, is I still don't fully believe that the Detroit defense is as good as they're flashing. I don't. I think Jordan Love – I think here's something that you and Lisa were correct about. Jordan Love shouldn't have been playing in that football game. Not at all. And I thought that was a huge mistake made by the Green Bay Packers. The Lions are 7-1, and anything short of one of the top two seeds in the NFC would be stunning at this point in time. But I think how I see it is they are not a tier above the Philadelphia Eagles in how I see it. And – we'll see, like, this Commanders team, we'll see where they land. And then I guess I'll hold out and find out what healthy Green Bay looks like. Because I still can't get a full read on the Green Bay situation. The Lions are very good. I have no issues with anybody who views them as the best team in the NFC. But, like, I'll still take, Donnie, the Eagles dominated the Jaguars yesterday. Dominated. That football game there. I think Philly's playing as well as every single team in this league, if not better.
If we take a look, too, at the Lions, the key ingredient here, too, is you see at the Vikings, at the Packers, both wins, which means that next game comes around in Detroit. Like, I just love the setup here from what I'm getting from them. They'll have another tough test against the Texans coming up, Jaguars, Colts, all that good stuff. Doug Peterson, thanks for playing at this point. Team showed a little bit of fight to get back into it, but obviously they pretty much stink out loud. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins, Kevin. 2-6-1 now in the season, or 2-2-6, excuse me. Opened up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, should have actually lost that game, pulled that game out late. Terrible game against the Bills. Injuries, of course, there in Seattle games. You lose one of the worst performances we've ever watched, and we saw that on a Thursday night football game where they got clowned by the Titans. You beat the Patriots somehow miraculously, that terrible team. You lose to the Colts, Cardinals, and the Bills. Now you're going to take on the upstart Rams coming up. What to make of the Miami Dolphins this year? Like, they're not making the playoffs. Like, what are the expectations here?
Not making the playoffs, but I think you can see with the performances that with Tua Tagovailoa healthy for the full year, they could have. But I think now, where, again, Mike McDonald, with credit, right? If you had to slice the pie of credit up, right? Yeah. Tua was getting a small sliver. They were incompetent without Tua Tagovailoa. They were useless with Mike McDaniel there. I was super high on Mike McDaniel. Looks to me like maybe Lisi had it dead to rights. I think the Dolphins really need to consider their head coach, because those performances without him have been unacceptable. And losing close games the last 2 weeks is unacceptable. Two losses by 4 points.
Now let me leave you with this before we hit the commercial break. Should we just bet over on any prop you want against the Vegas Raiders? Works for me, baby. Don't even matter who wide receivers even show up. We'll talk more football next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, right back at it here. By the way, you hear the breaking news today. Dennis Allen fired from the Saints. Good riddance. Two unbelievable wins. A couple devastating losses after that, including 7 straight. And when you lose to the Carolina Panthers, it is absolutely the end of the day. But I told you about this. The Bengals yesterday, my favorite bet on Pro Football Today, over 1.5 touchdown passes from Joe Burrow. Also told you how high I was on Mike Gesicki. Did I think Mike Gesicki would have 5 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns? No, but I thought he'd get in at a plus 350 price. Oh, it was so good yesterday. Burrow finished 27-39, 251, 5 touchdowns. Technically, he threw 6 touchdown passes because he threw an interception that got returned for a touchdown by the Raiders. The Raiders get hammered. The Raiders actually fired their entire offensive staff today, which leaves Antonio Pierce answering questions today, saying he has no idea who's going to call the plays this weekend. Looks like a healthy franchise overall. But how about this game? Chargers and the Browns, 27-10. I loved this game. Everybody high on Jameis Winston last week. He's got that offense going. And I said, boy, you watch this. When you have a coach like Jim Harbaugh that's going to put in a game plan, it's going to absolutely frustrate a guy like Jameis Winston, he turned right back into a pumpkin on Sunday. The orange of the Cleveland Browns turned into an orange pumpkin as they got slaughtered 27-10 in that game. It was 27-3 at one point to a late touchdown from the Browns. Herbert, yeah. 282 and two scores. Dobbins, Kevin, 85 yards, two touchdowns. Quentin Johnston, mm-hmm. young wide receiver, 4 for 118 and a touchdown. I absolutely love what's going on for the Chargers. And I said it this morning, Kevin, in 2 years, the Chargers are the best team in that division, not the KC Chiefs.
Is that contingent on Big Red retiring?
No, or Big, the Big Red's going to get fired in the retirement because of how good Jim Harbaugh and the boys are. How about that take? Yeah.
Oh, just man, like the Eagles. That was nutty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Shady gave Big Red a shout out. And like they applauded, but like it wasn't uproarious kind of thing. Like it was depends, like, ah. No, when Shady got inducted into the Birds Hall of Fame,
yeah.
He mentioned Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Like, and I think he thought like maybe we get a huge applause. I got an applause, but everyone else was like, you know what I mean? Let's keep it moving here.
That's my family down there at the link. Yeah, let's keep it moving on Andy Reid. Like, yeah, fine. We won without him. Deal with it.
But yeah, look, I think the Chargers got a lot of juice, man. I bet, like I told you about some of those updated win totals I took. Chargers yes. over was one of them. I like the way that team is positioned. I think it was a great call by you that they were going to be able to pick on the Browns. And that's exactly what they did. I'll tell you, though, you know, one spot – man, I don't know if I deserved better, but I felt like I was going to get better, was betting the Seahawks yesterday.
Oh,
and look, I don't want to take credit away from the Rams, but it does feel like we ended up with now full confirmation. Seahawks are not very good, and they need to find themselves a quarterback next season because Geno Smith's just not the answer.
He's not the answer, and he's never been the answer. Caught a little lightning in the bottle. Hey, look at this. He's a great quarterback, and then it's – already downhill at this point. But Kevin, you don't have DK Metcalf stop. There's enough weapons on that team to move the football. Gutsy win, though, by the Rams and where they sit now in the NFC West because they step over the Seahawks now. They've already beaten the 49ers. Could they be getting any help here at the trade deadline tomorrow? Now, granted, I mean, the big boys aren't really moving on, you know, tomorrow's action, but you can still get some pieces to the puzzle that can help out. Nakua was thrown out of that game early for throwing what they thought was a punch, which was ridiculous at that point, but they still ended up winning. And Cooper Kupp was like, yeah, I'm happy to be a target monster. What do you have? 14 targets, 11 catches, 100 yards yesterday. Really? He was really good. But that I was impressed more by the Rams than I was saying, oh, that's the Seahawks. So I just feel like that is the Seahawks. At their best, they can beat teams. They have talented wide receivers, a running game, and if it all works. But at their worst, you saw it yesterday, which is Geno Smith just doing inexplicably dumb things with the football. Now, there's two other games I want to take a look at, too. Let me get to this one first. Cardinals and the Bears. I honestly didn't see this coming. If you would have told me the Bears went on the road and lost a game, like, hey, I understand. They were lifeless. And I used this analogy from this morning, Kevin, on the early line. Sort of like Florida State. Unbeaten season. Hosed, I guess you could say, from the committee. And then the coach goes, well, that was the best I'm ever going to do. And if you guys want to leave, you can leave. And if you want to show up at practice, you can. I don't even know if I'm going to game plan for the rest of my career at Florida State now because of how devastated I am. You got blasted in that bowl game. You are an embarrassment this year because your coach set the tone. That's why I look at Eberflus. Last week's game, they should have won. It was on Eberflus why they lost the game. But that shows the definition of, you know what? These are my guys. I'm going to hug them up. Yeah. We're going to get back in the training room. We're going to get after it. We're going to have a great performance the next weekend. Kevin, they were dead on arrival, which is a terrible look for the head coach.
No doubt. I mean, Amari DeMarcado's ripping off 50 yarders. The whole thing was bad. And I think if you're the Bears, it's disappointing because with Caleb Williams, your expectations were not, hey, at least Eberflus is getting fired, right?
Yeah.
But that's what's going to happen. He's going to get fired. And I think it's incredible, man, that, you know, this guy Shane Waldron walked in there and everybody is immediately kind of like, oh, boy. And that's just how it's playing out with this Bears football team. It's going to be the most important thing. Let me throw a crazy thing at you, man, DRS.
Yep, sure.
Is it possible that Lincoln Riley ends up the coach of the Bears next year?
It's not crazy. It's not because the Bears have to understand this. I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes the public gets it right. And I get right back to this equation, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Chicago Bears fans. I'm Grandma Bear. I'm 90. I'm senile. I don't know what's going on. But you know what? I'm going to put out a poll today online. And I'm going to say one day, Bears fans, I'm just going to ask you this question. Should we move on from Eberflus? And if not, here's four candidates. I guarantee they would have fired Matt Eberflus and then have a different head coaching here. Because how did you come back this year? Because I look at the Bears and saying they're on the cusp of greatness. Like, I think they actually do have a very solid defense when they're coached up and play correctly. Mm-hmm. There's so much talent on that offense with a young rookie quarterback where the sky is the limit. I understand that they're 4-4. It doesn't sound that bad, but they shouldn't be 4-4. The way they've lost some of these football games, the way they didn't show up yesterday, the fact that you just didn't pick up the phone and say, Jim, you're a legend in this city. You played here before. Why don't you come back and lead this franchise? Because I guarantee you, the Bears would be a whirlwind tornado right now if they had Harbaugh, except they have Eberflus. I still get back to that point, but yes, Lincoln Riley would be a welcome addition because you might actually have an outlook. Like, hey, you know what? This offense should be really good.
I wonder if USC would prefer an amicable split of him going the Bears than firing him, because would we get big news?
What's their record? No, what is their record?
Oh, yeah, 4-5, I think.
USC's 4-5.
But Donnie, like, I'm telling you. But no, well, yeah. Donnie, like, they should have won at least half of their loss. It's crazy.
We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me.
Monday, talking primarily NFL action, which includes a game tonight that the boys will be live in studio for. It's Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kevin, rain in the forecast. Now, not as bad as probably what we saw yesterday with the temperatures and conditions in Green Bay, but it looks like it could be substantial throughout the game. Maybe some lightning, maybe some interference, maybe some hard rain that hits depending on which team has the football. Throws a little bit of a kink into it to me tonight because I want to wait to see how that shakes out. But I love Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 touchdown passes. Once again, if we just don't have crazy rain, which could throw a little, again, like if we've been having such good weather in most of our games in the NFL this year, I would hate to see it, but the rain happened tonight and that's the way it is. I hope it holds off, or I hope it's not as bad as we think.
First four games of the year, the Bucs allowed one passing touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
They've allowed 14 passing touchdowns in their next four games.
Yeah.
I understand the vision there on Pat. We're waiting for some information on the Bucs health-wise. McMillan, Shepard, Bucky Irving, all questionable, which will shift a lot of numbers if any or all miss the game, of course, props-wise. So waiting to see kind of what drops in that direction before I play anything in this game tonight. Kelsey looks good for props, though. I'm certainly leaning Bucks because, I mean, I don't know, how many times do we have to do this? How many times do we have to do this? It's 100 times. Like, we get it. They're not going to cover, right? I just wonder if Tampa Bay can jump out early and put the Chiefs behind the eight ball and actually put them on upset alert. I kind of think they can. I do.
Really?
I do.
With that offense?
Yeah.
Stop. I think you're getting clouded judgment from your immediate area over there.
Now, listen, that's respect, all right? And honestly, that wouldn't even be seen as that would be seen as a compliment. But Donnie, Tampa Bay's offenses continue to move the football. Like, I understand that they're without a lot of pieces, but they're moving the football all season long. Baker's been rolling sevens. He a little bit of the picks, a little bit of the turnovers, definitely a problem there, but Tampa, the Chiefs' defense is reliant on you cannot run at us, so we're going to put you in some bet. Well, Tampa Bay has no interest in running the ball.
Yeah,
they're going to look and by the way, Donnie, I'm not talking like they're going to go in that building and hang 35 on them. I'm talking about put a touchdown on the board first and play from there, and see if you can put them kind of up against it.
Yeah, no. I wish you well, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I just don't. I just think that defense for Kansas City is going to show up tonight and put their arms around Baker Mayfield in a light rainstorm that's going to cause turnovers.
So,
and then we're going to get all angry in the second half, hoping to root in some of these player props, and Kansas City just strangle that entire football game away from us into the night with a lightning delay that pushes us back an extra half hour.
Well, let me ask you this, though, then.
Yeah.
Because this is my only – and again, I don't need you to agree, but the premise, right?
Yeah.
Would you lean Chiefs or Bucks on the spread tonight?
Chiefs, yes.
So that's surprising to me.
Yeah.
Just because we kind of know what Kansas City does.
We do.
Right? And I think my point, Donnie, then is for anybody out here who leads Tampa Bay, which I think I don't know, I'm not the public, right? But the idea, Donnie, is, well, Kansas City lets everyone hang around, right?
Yeah.
At some point, that does burn you. It does. It burned them last year.
It does. Right?
So, but
if you look, though, like at their schedule,
you have them going unbeaten?
I think they're beating the Bucs. I think they're beating the Broncos. Like, there's a couple circle games. One's got the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be such a, like, if Buffalo continues on their trajectory and so does Kansas City, that is an unbelievable football game on November 17th at 4:25 p.m. Fantastic. Then you have the Panthers, the Raiders. The Chargers give them a battle, but it's at home. Then you have the Browns, who are going to be dead in the water. The Texans, they'll probably give you a fight, but again, it's at home. The at the Steelers game is the one I look forward to the most, because I think the Steelers still have everything in front of them at that point. I think that there's two chances for me, the Bills and the Steelers. Now, as we say that, any given Sunday, crazier things have happened. We've seen that in the past. So I get it. But I think there's two big hurdles, both road games, Bills and the Broncos, where the chance of them taking their first loss in. Because they've already played really good football teams and got so many lucky breaks that you're like, okay, well, breaks are out mm-hmm. of the way. Let's just see if we can play clean the rest of the way.
Yeah, look, again, I'm not sitting here telling you, oh, I can't believe you think that Kansas City is going to win the game or anything. What I'm saying, though, is, Donnie, like, if their only losses are games that are, you know, like kind of tight numbers, okay. But every team so far, Donnie, other than them, has been upset this year.
Yeah.
Right? Tampa Bay beat Detroit in Detroit. That's the one Detroit loss that sits on the plate. You know, typically Detroit. There's a surprise.
Get on board, Kevin. Detroit in the NFC. Put away your Eagles fandom like I have here. See, this is like, I got fandom here.
Detroit, there you go. Detroit, there you basketball. Go. You know better.
College basketball tonight? Stop the man. This should be in January. We'll be right back tomorrow with another episode of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.